Now, Stephen, I put these radon test kits all over our office, so don't throw them away.
I thought it was a cookie.
A cookie?
Oh, God.
Don't get back on being cookies. I'm going to make you do the voice again. That's your fault. You walked into this trap.
Radon tests.
You could have went with ant trap. You could have went with little moo thing. You know those moo things? I totally know those moo things.
Yeah, I didn't even know like what to look up for this. So explain this to me or provide me a link, because I don't know what Michael's referring to.
The little moo discs. I'm going to type in moo discs.
Moo discs.
It's like a, there's like a, oh, now I'm getting moo, like the site, like the business cards.
They make nice business cards.
It's like it has in it. Inside, when you flip it over, it's like it is very, like another disc is inside and it's very tight and it pushes the air out of the holes. So when you turn it, it makes like a moo sound.
Okay.
Moo toys?
I searched moo discs and it's just a bunch of like kids' CDs. With
there it is, moo toys. Cow moo toy.
Cow moo toy.
Hold on, there's a YouTube video.
Well, there you go. Not much more to the moo than that.
Oh, okay. Moo box on Wikipedia is what it's called.
Now you know.
Moo box.
The moo box.
All right.
Now I'm distracted by moo boxes.
The second time, I thought it was one of those, you know, the things you turn over and it moos, like a cow thing. But upon closer examination, it was another ant trap, so I threw it away.
Yeah, so cold open, we're talking about season 6, episode 25, The Chump, originally airing on May 13th, 2010. And we're talking about the cold open. There is a conference room meeting being led by Toby, who is explaining that he's very concerned about radon in the office, which isn't the first time he's brought this up. This was a concern of his years ago. I believe in the episode Goodbye Toby, he was concerned about radon in the office. So he's finally setting out the little test kits, and Michael is not happy about this.
And the third time, I did it out of spite.
I guess Toby wasn't that concerned. That's been a while, but yeah.
I mean, we don't really know how long Michael's been throwing out the radon test kits.
That's true. He thought it was an ant trap, but he would rather live with ants than a creepy little disc.
It does look like an ant trap, though.
It does. It looks like a moo box, which everyone knows. No one had to look up earlier. Yeah, Michael's just not having it.
Come on, Michael, you're interrupting.
You're kidding me! God! You say radon is silent but deadly, and then you expect me not to make farting noises with my mouth? What is this?
Please sit down.
You know what? We're not going to die of radon. We're going to die of boredom.
Yeah.
Right?
He's over it. He doesn't want to be in this meeting.
Yeah, and everyone kind of joins in with Michael's protest of the meeting. I think that this is another one of those killing fields where there's like a whole bunch of joke after joke after joke, and you are seeing this conference room meeting, and it has a little bit of a different vibe than normal, because I think it's not Michael running the meeting, it's Toby, and everyone is making comments about that. And eventually it gets around to Michael being so frustrated with Toby and just so over him that he talks about possibly killing him with two bullets.
And if I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby, I would shoot Toby twice.
No. That's
okay.
You were
all right.
Being really funny, and then you went too far.
I would kill Bin Laden and then Toby.
No, that's still.
Okay, geniuses, how would you do it?
But it turns into a discussion on how can we kill everyone with our two bullets, and they work out some problem solving.
Well, Dwight has a solution, and it's to line them all up and shoot them through the throat. And so Fitless gets to play Hitler. Andy is very excited to play Bin Laden. And people applaud as Toby just like deadpan stares into the camera.
One bullet and boom.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, he's the only one not having fun. Everyone else kind of gets into it.
I will say this may be the tiniest warm open of the whole series. What links this to the rest of the episode is we see Jim yawn. And so it's not like a complete cold open. There's like a tiny little thread.
Oh, I did not catch that. I did not catch that. Okay. All right. Warm it is.
Warm and murdery.
So the bulk of this episode, when we find our way into the office, there's like three things going on in this episode. And I guess I'll first highlight the three things and then we will pick them apart as we normally do. We have Pam and Jim, who are exhausted from staying up all night with their baby, Cece. We have Michael and his relationship with Donna as we work through that. And we have Dwight and Angela kind of trying to dissolve their contract and figure out what to do with this. Because as we know previously, Dwight was interested in getting out of the contract since he ran into Isabel again.
I think this episode is a little too full. I feel like we could have done without the Jim and Pam story and have another way for them to discover the contract. Because that comes up later that they know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like there's so much in this episode. And there's not a free moment. I mean, sometimes when I prepare for these episodes, I can just watch it and take notes as I go. But I feel like this time I was pausing every 6 seconds to write something down because every single beat has something important.
Yeah, this is a super, super dense episode. I feel like the density of the episodes is really ramping up this season. Next episode, it's the season finale. So that might have something to do with it. We're grabbing a lot of through lines here and we are following a lot of characters. It seems like they're in a rush a bit to wrap things up and move things along. But I don't know, like I get that exact same sense that it's very, very full, but I like an episode like this. I like a fast moving, like really dense office episode. It's delightful. It has a lot of great lines. They're very quick. Like I love the cold, you know, possibly trickle of warm open that we have with Toby and the radon test kits. Like I really enjoy this episode as a whole. And I think that the episodes that I feel like, okay, this kind of like drags on, there's filler, there's this, there's that, they don't feel as typical office to me, whereas like a really full, dense episode does.
I can go with that.
Does that make sense? Maybe I'm just talking. I could just be talking. There's no way to know.
So do we want to start with Michael?
Yeah, we should, because the episode opens with Pam and Aaron preparing for Michael's heartbreak.
This is all for Michael. Turns out his girlfriend was married.
Yeah, and when Michael gets a broken heart, this whole place comes to a halt. So we're just trying to get out in front of this.
I hope, Chancellor, well, even though it's not technically a whiteboard, that you have a list of ways to make Michael feel better when he's going through a breakup.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
There are Eagles-based ice cream flavors, which Pam doesn't see the necessity of cute ice cream names, which I feel like Pam would appreciate a cute ice cream name, but maybe she just doesn't like the Eagles. There's Mr. Bean playing in the conference room. Kevin, by the way, has already started it and is laughing as he's watching along. And the Pink Panther is playing in Michael's office. And there's a sign-up sheet for volunteers for half-hour shifts in those two rooms. So as he goes between the movies, he's always with somebody. He doesn't spiral on his own.
I think there's more to this list.
Is there?
Well, those are like the physical thing that's going on in the office. But Pam does continue to list off. She has a random sound effects if things start slowing down and yes. You get nervous.
Yeah.
A laugh at everything policy that Michael says. And the most important thing on the list, no Toby.
No Toby. At one point, he comes in from the kitchen.
Hey, everyone.
No. Out. Get out. Right now. Leave now.
Wait, get out. Back.
Please.
Right now. Sorry.
Poor Toby.
So they are very prepared. It's what I like about this is that it shows how much all these people know each other and how Pam is so prepared and knows exactly how to handle Michael at this point. Everyone is ready for it. It just really seems like that they're a really good support group right now.
Yeah, they've learned what happens when Michael has a breakup and mm-hmm. they want to avoid all of the disruption and they're trying to get ahead of it, you know? And I guess, like, did they get there early? Michael just came in late, but he comes in. Everyone's very nice to him. You know, they're all doing what Pam has suggested. But Michael seems okay. He doesn't seem like breakup Michael. And people just aren't sure about what's going on. They're worried that maybe he is still seeing Donna, even though he knows that she's married. And so Pam and Jim have a bit of a test for Michael. They invite him over. They describe the perfect evening.
Too tired to do this.
Me too.
Then let's just not do this. Do you have any idea of the risks involved?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
We were wondering if you'd like to have dinner with us tonight in our home and play with our baby.
We could order in from Hooters.
Oh, Hooters a go. Nice.
We can watch a movie and play Rock Band.
Billy Joel Rock Band.
That exists?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll have to take a rain check, but thanks for the offer.
And then Pam basically yells, like, are you still seeing Donna? Because there's no way you would turn that down.
Surprise, he is still seeing Donna. Everyone figures it out. Before we get into Michael still seeing Donna, though, in that list of things that Pam and Jim bring up that, like, oh, come on over and we'll do all this fun stuff at our house, in our home, with you as our friend, they bring up playing Rock Band. And they mention specifically Billy Joel Rock Band. Michael questions if this even exists instead of just jumping on the invitation. And as I was reading about this episode, it seems that this episode might have actually sparked real Billy Joel Rock Band to become a thing.
What?
Yeah. That previously Billy Joel was not on any Rock Band games. And after this episode, somehow Billy Joel stuff started showing up on Rock Band. And it's alleged that Billy Joel himself is like, you got to get me on that game.
Wow. That's amazing.
Stories. So I don't know how true it is, but it's pretty amazing. Nope, that
I believe it. That sounds great.
Me too. Let's all believe it. Let's all choose to believe.
Yeah. We need more good things in the world. And that's a good thing.
We do, especially Billy Joel. And here on Long Island, he's basically, I don't know, like the mayor of Long Island. The Prince of Long Island. I don't know how it works, but people here really like Billy Joel.
Prince of Long Island.
The Principality of Long Island, don't you know?
I really like what this episode does with Andy. Andy is able to speak into the situation because he's been on the other side of it. When he was engaged to Angela and she was sleeping with Dwight and they had the duel, all that stuff. And we've seen Andy continue to deal with the fallout of that. And he very calmly, like, talks to Michael, like, hey, what does her husband think about this? Does he know? How would he feel? You know, he is able to use his experience to try to shape where this is going to go. And I really like that. I really like that we get this payoff in Andy, that he's been through all this junk for the last year, and he's able to now finally sort of channel it into something good and try to keep someone else from being hurt the way that he was hurt. And I really like that turn for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I never really thought of it that way before, but I like seeing that. I like seeing Andy in this helpful role. And he does. He takes Michael to confront the husband of Donna, and they show up at a baseball game. And at first I was like, when is this baseball game being played? It's high school baseball, right? He's a high school coach. And I'm like, oh, school gets out at like 2:30.
Yeah.
School ends very early and ball games are still during the workday. So Michael and Andy head on over to the ball game, and Michael's faced to confront what he's actually doing instead of just kind of think of it in an abstract way.
Hey, I got to get back to this.
Of course.
All right.
But real quick, I want you to meet my associate, Sheldon.
No.
Come on,
I'm
get
good.
Over here. Get, oh my get God. Over here.
All right.
Sheldon, say hi to the nice coach.
Sorry, I got some stomach cramps.
It's all right. Keep it going.
Well, that was not at all what I expected.
And he even mentions while he's kind of meeting the coach, even though it kind of results in him, it results in Michael deflecting a lot of these feelings and trying to be hard-hearted about it. But he even says when he's meeting the coach, like, that he has a stomach ache and he doesn't feel well and he's like really upset about doing it. even though he tries to pass it off as like, oh, I'm so cool, like James Bond. And mm-hmm. he even gets back to the office and eats a fistful of Meredith's cake, which then inspires Ryan to be bold. But I guess we'll get into that in a sec.
Mm. Is bold the right word?
Foolhardy? I don't know.
Creepy.
Okay, yeah, that's it. It's creepy. It's not the only time that he creeped on Aaron about a threesome with him and Kelly. So that's another callback to a previous episode. These characters are consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so Donna's husband, Shane, is this baseball coach. And Michael has basically excused his behavior. Like, well, he's a sports guy. Those guys are all jocks. They're all jerks. And when they go to the baseball game and Andy starts talking to him, which is like super funny and awkward, and Michael begins to see him as a person, which is what Andy's goal was, right? Andy's goal was to see, hey, this guy is just a normal guy. You know, his wife is stepped out on him, but he didn't deserve it from what we know. He seems like a nice guy. And that's Andy's point. Andy's point is to humanize and like to show somebody being the victim of his actions.
And now, coaching third base with two arms, two legs, and a heart capable of feeling pain.
All right, could you just... Can you just act normal for a second, please?
Whatever. I'm the one blending in.
And he does it in the Andy way, right? Andy says he doesn't know much about baseball. But he says it's probably like cricket. And at one point when the coach comes over, he's like, oh, are you guys Kenny's dads?
No, but we're gay for baseball.
Very Andy, very funny, but it works. I mean, Andy got what he wanted for Michael to see that there's another human being involved in this, even though you've never met him before.
At first, it seems like it doesn't work. Like we said, he goes back and he takes like a, you know, hunk of the cake. He doesn't refill the copier, which it angers Creed.
Yes.
He's very upset about this. I didn't expect that from Creed, but I really like it. Little Creed closet moment there.
Boss, we're out of paper.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Are you going to add any more?
Nope. He don't give an F about nothing.
And it keeps on going until he decides to leave the office because he's about to go meet Donna. But we see a contemplative Michael kind of taking in everything that he learned for the day as he is driving towards seeing Donna, and he turns around. He decides not to show up, and he goes back to the office, and I really like this scene where he just kind of opens up the fridge and gets out the ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he decides that he needed to cut things off because it just wasn't right.
Yeah, and good for Michael. I mean, he realizes the lesson that Andy's trying to teach him, and I love that shot because in a very busy episode, it's silent when Michael's driving and it's all on his face. And I think Steve Carell just totally kills this scene because you see him wrestle with it and then sort of resolve it without saying anything. It's just, it's very subtle. Now we see that he apparently broke up with Donna via text message. The camera crew, I guess, was at the motel or whatever, and they catch her, you know, being upset when she looks at her phone. But at the end, he does the right thing.
How do I feel about breaking up with Donna? Good. Moral. I feel proud. Like a grown up. That was not easy because I really liked her a lot. And I'm a little bit emotional right now because I know that I absolutely made the right decision.
You know, his line at the end of it is pretty sad. He says, at the end of the day, you have to do what's right.
And it was either living with myself or being happy. And I picked the former.
It's like, oh, man, like he knows that he's giving up something that brought him happiness that he enjoyed, but he knew he did it for the right thing. But it does make him sad. And I think that's fair. From his perspective.
So that's basically the Michael plot. I mean, really, when we talk about it like straight through like that, there isn't much there, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
So the Jim and Pam plot, along with the Dwight and Angela plot, it all mixed into this episode. These two are the ones that kind of like are together at the end. And so Jim and Pam are struggling to stay awake during the entire workday. And this kind of kicks off with some yawning here and there. And then they both fall asleep at their desk and Gabe catches them.
Guys?
Pam?
Hey. Oh, hi, Gabe.
Can you two please join me in my office? Now.
You were supposed to be the lookout.
Yeah, well, it's really warm in here. It's like a sleeping bag.
And he tries to bring them back into his quote-unquote office, which he doesn't have. It's a desk. And he tries to chastise them for falling asleep. And in doing that, he then starts lecturing them about some paperwork, and it starts boring them to death. And they start falling asleep again. I do love that shot of like those tired eyes. The two of them, if they weren't actually tired, they played it so well. Cause like I felt that tired. Like, you know, everyone's felt that. Everyone's felt that I need to stay awake and listen and do the thing that I'm supposed to do, but my eyes are just shutting and I can't even stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they did it so well.
It's really fantastic. The paperwork he wants to talk about, you know, after he chastises them, he says, oh, you know, the power dynamic, it's so weird, but I want to talk to you about this too. He's created some sort of like decision tree document about how to share the information about the printer fires. And so he, I guess, still has that on his plate. Also, the documentarian or the editor cuts away as he's talking, like mid-sentence, because like, okay, this is even too boring to show on TV. We just got to move on.
So Jim and Pam continue to fall asleep all over, and they're contemplating what kind of energy drink, if any, to get at the vending machine.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
What about an energy drink or something?
Gets in the breast milk. If I drink it, CC drinks it 6 hours later.
Well, it doesn't mean I can't drink it.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Daryl overhears this and he reveals to them that there is a secret nap spot in the warehouse that some of the warehouse workers use because they often work double shifts at other jobs, and that he's going to let them use it. And I think that this is a pretty cool reveal that that's down there. And I totally believe it. And Daryl waxes poetic about the wonders of this beautiful nap spot.
Light bulbs burn out, so it's dark. And the heat from the backup generator keeps it nice and warm. Sometimes I think about it when I'm trying to fall asleep at home. But as far as the rest of the office goes, it doesn't exist.
Daryl sees what they're up against with a new baby. He does say that they're sworn to secrecy, which they agree to. And they get to go enjoy it.
So now, back upstairs again, now in the conference room with Dwight, Angela, and a mediator going over their contract.
Rather than spend all day in court, we have decided to settle our dispute using a mediator. It was an option spelled out in our child-rearing contract and...
Alleged contract.
Alleged? I'm going to own your farm by the time this is over.
Yeah, just try. I will do legal jujitsu on you.
Yeah.
See, don't even need to make contact. The law will do it.
We get to see more of what's in this document here. They are arguing, or Dwight is arguing, about some of the language in the contract. But we also see how similar they are. They agree on whatever the Benjamin Button clause says, in case the baby is born an old man.
I mean, you got it just in case.
Just in case. And it sort of comes out like, look, this is a pretty solid contract. You know, the mediator says that it's very similar to an agreement for surrogacy, and it's a well-known thing. And honestly, he can't enforce anyone to have a child with anyone else, which Angela's like, what? Why not? She really wants this. But he suggests that, well, you know, the damages here could be about $30,000. You know, Dwight would owe Angela that amount if he backs out of this. And we get this great talking head with Dwight. He says he doesn't have the money laying around, but he buried it.
I don't have $30,000 lying around. I have it buried very deeply, and I don't want to dig past a certain someone to get it.
I mean, he was able to dig up a tuxedo, so true. I don't know. You all right?
It was reburied in an old oil drum.
Yeah. There are a lot of great lines in this. I adore the list of Angela's cats,
mm-hmm.
which are not lumps, but do you know the name of all the cats?
I listened to it like three times, and it was so fast I couldn't get all of them. So do you have them?
Well, those lumps are cats, and those cats have names. Their names are Ember, Milky Way, Diane, and Lumpy.
Wow. I like that Lumpy is a cat name.
But not in your bed. It's Lumpy.
Those lumps are cats, and those cats have names, and those names are Ember, Milky Way, Diane, and Lumpy.
Fine.
I can see how that joke was written in, but I still appreciate it. I really do. And that's a fantastic trivia right there. Like, name Angela's Lumpy bed cats.
Yeah. Garbage isn't a bed cat. And Sprinkles is dead.
Garbage lives at the office.
Lives in the filing cabinet.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, Angela's threatening that she's gonna own his farm by the time this is over with, but she has an alternative. And so she presents the alternative as five acts of intercourse to completion, as described, rendered at her discretion. So she gets to pick the time and day. And Dwight kind of views this as, well, hey, you know, $30,000 for five times is a pretty good fee, you know?
Five times for $30,000? Not a bad stud fee. Better than most horses.
So he's feeling good. They agree to it. The mediator's like, whoa, this is basically prostitution, and I can't be here for this. Like, I gotta go. But this is their new deal. So it has changed from a child-rearing contract to five times together, and I guess what happens, happens after that.
So Angela decides to, I guess, enact this contract today. And
yeah, you gotta knock one off the list.
I mean, I feel like it's a, I mean, maybe it's a celebratory thing. I don't know. I feel like maybe that's, oh, there's five. I don't know. Is it a bit of a waste because it feels rushed? I don't know. But Angela is, she wants it today. So they head off to their secret spot, unbeknownst to them that Jim and Pam are taking a nap in the secret nap spot that happens to be right above their like little storage room sex dungeon that they have down there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a dungeon, but I mean, that door makes it sound like a dungeon.
Yeah.
And so Jim and Pam, they didn't sleep through that. They overheard everything.
Are you warmed up?
No.
God, Angela, why is that always my responsibility? Stop kissing me. It's not in the contract.
And this is where they learn there's some sort of agreement. Dwight doesn't see why getting Angela warmed up is his responsibility.
But... Rude.
Rude. But
And Angela wants eye contact.
Yeah. you know, that's pretty rare in nature. She's not a farm animal.
She's not a farm animal.
Dwight is immediately trying to compromise this.
I am an honorable man, and I will honor the contract. But I don't have to give her the good stuff. Shrewd sperm are strong, but they're no match for a grown shrewd man. Let's see what she gets.
And so we see a quick succession of shots where he is trying to damage himself so his sperm aren't viable. So he is running the microwave, and he basically straddles it. He has drumsticks and is drumming on his pants. He punches himself, drops a book on himself. He crashes a bike into the door of the building. And we hear Angela from the perspective of Jim and Pam. We can see them in their perch. Like, what did you do to yourself? You know, what's going on here?
What did you do to yourself?
Never mind. Just never mind.
Well, it better work.
Oh, it'll work.
This storyline is funny. It's like, you know, sort of on the meta level upsetting. There's this like office meme that you see sometimes on like the office subreddit or on Instagram. But like, can you imagine, you know, years later, people watching this and like realizing how messed up all this is? But it is pretty messed up.
I like that they, again, continually, like they do in so many episodes, they balance something that's very serious with something that's a little bit more like goofy funny. And so I think that that's why they have all of these things paired. But you're right, the three plot lines kind of all happening in office at the same time does feel like a lot. But looking at how long we've been talking about this, previous episodes that haven't been as dense, but have been more, psychologically involved with the characters. We talked about those way longer than we have this incredibly dense episode where just like a lot of little things have happened. Mm. But they really didn't spare a second.
No, they really didn't. And I think that's why that scene with Michael driving again stands out so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
That they were willing to pause all the sort of rapid fire stuff in this episode to really have that emotional moment with Michael. And it, you know, it does move the storyline along for Angela and Dwight. It's the new era of their relationship. And mm-hmm. it's also, I think, a new era for Michael where we see him coming back from what he has discovered was a mistake. And really, I think, being pretty mature about it, you know, by the time it's over. Even when we see post-breakup Michael, he's not on the ground crying. You know, he's not moaning. He's upset, but he even handles that, I think, in stride. And he's willing to listen to the people around him telling him that what he's doing is wrong. And it's a nice, I think, maturity of the Michael character, too.
So this episode doesn't completely end with Pam and Jim and Dwight and Angela. We have a moment where Michael is leaving the office and he is confronted with a bunch of reporters in the parking lot.
Michael Scott?
Yes?
Do you want to make a comment on the rumors?
I have done some very bad things. Things of which I am not proud. I would like to publicly apologize to the coach and the players. And I vow to never listen to my bodily instincts ever again.
But then one of the reporters mentions about the Sabre printers catching fire.
I'm talking about the Sabre printers that catch on fire.
Oh, okay. I was talking about that. What's going on?
And Michael is taken aback by this. He has no idea. No one has told him, even though he's the manager of the branch. And that's where it ends. So this episode ends, even though it was like a big character episode and relationship episode. We got the little mention that Gabe mentioned the printers catching fire, but we're moving that plot line along too with essentially their new corporate, and we have reporters showing up to the office.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they're building towards this is going to be a big deal in the finale. I do like that Michael is completely unaware. I think his line is like, wait, what? What's happening? What's going on?
I think, Stephen, before we close up our episode, we have a Dundee to give out because we put out a request for some answers.
Yes.
Last episode.
Yes. We had several people answer this, but we have a person who is first, which is Kay over on Twitter, Kay Matsua. Just going to go with it. So they wrote in about the weight that Dwight was using around his head. And neither of us were familiar with this. Turns out it is called a neck harness. I want to read you some of the benefits of the neck harness.
I wish it had a better name. I really do.
It's not even really around your neck. It's
like a Flurfinkel or something.
Sure. All right. So the neck harness for weightlifting is highly desirable for boxers, footballers, MMA fighters, bodybuilders, and fitness lovers. Reduce the risk of neck injury in sports and workouts. That's point one. Point two, lower the risk of everyday neck pain. You just have neck pain when you're at the gym with 20 pounds hanging off your head.
It seems like it would increase the risk of neck injury and increase neck pain.
It has deluxe quality nylon straps for your comfort. That's nice. It is used to build up stronger neck, upper back, and chest muscles. The head strap is adjustable for extra safety and is perfect for resistance training.
Wow, that all seems exactly what Dwight would go for.
Yeah, you know, you got to make sure your neck is strong.
Mm-hmm,
so
totally.
A big thank you to Kay. Come on down. You have won the Strongest Neck Award.
Yeah, that works.
Congratulations on your Dundee win, and next week we will be back talking about the episode Whistleblower. And until then, you can go and find us over on Twitter at @tall_beats if you want to, I don't know, give us some info, tweet, hey, what's up, say, look at these cool Dundies, I don't know, whatever people do on Twitter. You can also find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. And you can become an incomparable member and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to our members only bonus feed. And you can join us in the conference room, our members only Slack. So, all right, Steven, how are we closing out here? I wish I had one of those moo things to just like moo.
Just like drop a sound effect in.
Great. Now you gave me more work. I need a nap.
I know a place.